Hey guys, it's Gavin and AZ here. Name is Chris, doing the YouTube channel at Skaven in AZ. Wanted to check it out there, but been playing Skaven for, oh gosh, a while now, as I've been going through fantasy, and it's my primary GT army, which I travel to a number of the big grand tournaments around the US. And yeah, that's me.
Yeah, you've just got how many pages is it? 9 pages of YouTube comments on the Under Empire. So, yeah, just a while. And that's only from this year as well. Jesus.
Yeah, I've got that thread's been running for a while. I'm up to like almost 1,100 subscribers on the channel, which is good. And I've had a lot of Skaven players reach out and say, hey, it's given us some ideas, whether it's the, you know, the army itself or just the way I use it. Which has always been appreciated.
Yeah, that's solid. Well, I think everyone knows who I am, so it's Skaven down here. Hello, everybody. We're just doing a midnight kerfuffle. Well, it's night for you, it's morning for me. my terrapin's staring at me going, what the fuck are you doing up? So we're just going to do the second part of the character breakdown for the army book review, since Chris has gone AWOL. We're just going to carry on in his stead, and we'll sort things out when Chris resurfaces. So, yes, we were just saying that Vermin Lords are, well, somewhat probably overpriced with some skewed special rules which make them a bit unusable. Although I do like that it pisses demon players off because it doesn't have demonic instability like they do.
Yeah, but he's also not unbreakable.
Well,
like they are.
Yeah, I know, but if he was unbreakable, he'd just run in and die, wouldn't he? Because he'd just go, I'm not actually that good.
He's going to run in and die anyways with no save but a 5+ ward. I mean, he's just he's waiting to catch a cannonball. He's waiting for a bunch of strength 4 infantry just to pile a bunch of attacks into him. He's only got, you know, 5 attacks. Sure, it's initiative 10, but at the same point in time, he's got all the disadvantages of demons and none of the real advantages, and he's so overpriced that you can fit a Fellblade and a Grey Seer in for almost the same amount of points and only giving up 1 point of leadership and a Thunderstomp? Not worth it.
Yeah. Well, the only real thing that pisses me off, because I've been playing Skaven for ages, as you probably gathered, is he can't Skitterleap anymore. And there didn't used to be a limitation on who could be Skitterleaped before. So you could Skitterleap a Vermin Lord from one side of the battlefield to another. But
a nifty trick, definitely.
Yeah, that's going back to like 6, I think. Cause didn't they skip him in 7th, I think? And then they brought him back and he was rubbish. So it was like, yeah.
So, I don't remember that far back.
Before time, there was the things that Dan remembers about Warhammer.
See, I have all those old books. I just didn't play Skaven back that far ago.
Oh, wow, man. The classic stuff. Right, so, yeah. After that, you've got your Warlord. These come in a various number of builds. I know you're a big fan of the Fellblade. Is that the only one you run, really?
That's one of the two I run. I value the Fellblade for a bunch of reasons. Number one, I can Skitterleap the Fellblade, and well, that just scares the hell out of opponents. I mean, I was at one of the GTs I was at, and I was running up against a guy who brought his, all-mounted Empire list with 14 Inner Sphere Knights with Karl Franz and Ludwig and all those guys.
Oh, my God.
2 units of Demogryphs and 2 Steam Tanks. And the Demogryphs and the Steam Tanks wouldn't approach out of his deployment zone because he was scared to death of the Fellblade. It didn't do anything all game until I went through and put it into Karl Franz and killed him on like turn 5 or so. But the point was that it kept 1,000 points of him away from my lines. And that's really the benefit behind it, is the fact that people are scared to death of it and will not approach it unless they've got massive number of attacks that they can direct on it, in which case the Fellblade shouldn't be there in the first place. So it just keeps people away from my lines and makes people want to go into my slave bunkers, which if you can get your enemies to charge the slaves willingly, as a Skaven player, you've just about won the game. And so that makes him just well worth that 230 points or so that I pay for him on the Fellblade and the Warlitter. I also like Caps build a lot. That's one I use when I'm not going with my ultra competitive list. Nice, well balanced, protected, can stand up against a Kadai or a Bloodthirster with a Burning Blade, whatever. A good all around utility build that can dish out punishment where it's needed and not have the overbearing, I'm going to roll a one or two and kill myself problem.
What is Caps build? I can't actually remember.
Caps build is the guy in the Warlitter with the Sword of Anti-Heroes, Dragon Helm, a shield, other Trickster Shard, and a 4+ ward, if I recall correctly. Comes in at like 228.
Yeah, that's another thing as well, because a warlord and a warlitter, for some reason, you can skitter leap, but a vermin lord, you can't.
Because the Vermin Lord's a mon the Vermin Lord's a monster. He's
He's a
a
lightweight
he's still
compared to the
infantry.
others.
I've got mine mounted on a 40x40, so I guess you could say that, but he's good.
Have no idea what he comes on anymore. He was 40-40, but they've changed all the bases now, haven't they? He must be at least 50-50 now. We're probably going to get a new model with this new rumored thing going on, but less about that till later. We can put that at the end.
You would think you would, but that model's been around forever.
That's one of the reasons I think they'll change it. The mold's probably buggered, if nothing else.
I mean, it's old as sin and ugly as hell and way too small for what it is. I would think that when the new book comes out, they'll want to go through and redo him to make him bigger and better and also bigger and more expensive, so they'll redo him.
Or just point everyone to the Forge World site and go, "Hey guys, Mega Vermin Lord model."
Yeah, that would work, but then people would enterprise and just use the classic one that they've always had that they've just never used.
Maybe. Right. So that really only leaves the Seer. It's probably one of the most hated casters in all of Warhammer, I think. Because for 240 points, we get a level 4 and we get D3 tokens. And I think it's the tokens that annoy people more than anything else. Because I don't know about you, but I don't tend to roll ones when I use these things. It's always a point of contention when someone goes, "You roll the one, sure, that does something bad." And I was like, "Oh no, that wasn't a token." So yeah, I mean, I've written a list because I've been coerced into going into a Brawler Bash comp tournament. So that'll be interesting. I'm not sure about my list because I don't really do 3K competitively, but I've got fully kitted out Seer in that list with two extra tokens because there's no comp on the magic. So I figured, what the hell, I'll just come mad with it.
I think the biggest thing that people have issues with over here for the Seer, other than the sin problem and the fact that everybody, there's no reason not to take a Grace Seer in any army for Skaven that you can fit him in the points wise. But one of the biggest complaints I have just goes back to the magic and the fact that we have the two signature spells that you can swap out for between Skitter and Dreaded, and the fact that those combined with the tokens and the rules for the tokens really make him so versatile. At 240, you can fit him in a 1,000-point game. And at a 1,000-point game, the Seer will wreck face. And that's just all there is to it. Most other armies, other than Empire and that sort, can't fit a level 4 as easily as we can in that particular point spread.
Yeah, I totally agree because if you're going to play a 1,000 points game, I just agree with your opponent not to use magic because there's some spells just completely wreck the game at 1,000 points. If you start doing silly bunkers of doom like they usually do, a Death Star, then I don't know, it only takes like 1/13th, like you say. And it's like, I've got 13 white lions and I put a level 2 in there and I thought that'd be okay. And you go, "No, 13th, roll a 20, you're dead." And you deserve it, you dirty elves.
He's if you're listening to this pod and you don't take a Grace here for whatever reason, you're either not playing Skaven or you have something against it, because there's no reason not to take that model in every army.
Well, some people take the triple warlord build, which is like caps one, and then the Fellblade one, and then a third one with the what's it called now? The wizard hat. So you have some random magic, which is, I don't know, I can see that being quite good. I'm quite tempted to squeeze it into my 3K just for if I can get like Mind Razor or something stupid.
I've seen that done once. There was one of the tournaments I went to where a guy proudly put his Skaven list out there and used none of the stuff that was fact, none of the charts, none of the rares, none of the, and he had three warlords running around on I think they were all on Bonebreakers and just running them into people. But I'm not going to pay 255 points. That's naked,
Yeah.
plus the Wizarding Hat. For a chance at Mind Razor, I'll take the level 4 every time.
Well, I do like Skaven magic. I just stick to that, generally speaking. It's just, yeah. When you have arguments with IELTS, I just begrudge that point. When they start coming out with the bullshit about the drain magic, that's an awesome conversation to be had repeatedly. But
Yeah, I mean, you just can't. For all of our things for High Elves, and like one of the videos I just did out there about the all High Elf Cav army with the Banner of the World Dragon shoved in it, as long as it's not the Cav, your best bet to dealing with it is either a Hell Pit, in which case he's probably in a Horde of White Lions and you're just going to lose the Hell Pit, or Dread of 13th. Remove 4 die 6 a turn. It's the best way to do it, and it's a signature spell. So unlike the others where you have a chance of not getting it, you can always take it, and you can always take it when you need it and you don't have to. There's no reason to mess around with anything else other than a support caster if you have spare points, like in your 3K, I'd believe.
Well, the last time that I took a big game, it was against Luke Morton's demons, and I gave one the power scroll, and I gave the other one a load of tokens, and I gave them both 13s because this is filthy demons where he's gonna have 40-odd Nurgle dudes that are minus one to hit, have a ward save, and then they have four regen anyway. So I was just like, no, screw that shit. I'm just going to get 12 power dice, and I'm just going to 13 to twice. And they were going, oh, have you got the spell twice? I love annoying that But, yes. The 13th definitely has its uses. I don't really use it much generally, but it's all elves around here. Oh, and just for you, you'll love this one. The last four local tournaments have all been won by high elves.
Yeah, people are definitely going very high elf centric in all the tournaments because there's a number of builds you can do between the all cav build, between the White Lion Horde build, and even a solid just whatever. But they're good, and the Banner of the World Dragon immediately eliminates a number of armies from serious contention because they're so dependent on magic, either by magical attacks or just magic to deal with damage, that it makes it hard for them to encounter. And they're flexible enough that they can deal with anything without giving up too much when they anchor it with that banner.
Yeah, well, that's one of the serious issues, isn't it? It's like you're saying at 1K, a seer is completely awesome. But on the same vein, it's quite easy to put in the Banner of the World Dragon in 1K.
Right.
And then you've got complete magic immunity, so do you really need a level 4?
That banner would have been fair at 100 points.
I don't know what it'd be fair. There's a couple of things in the High Elf book I'm pretty begrudged about. But anyway, we're getting into a High Elf rant here. No, not talking about Skaven characters. Fucking elves. So yeah, are you a fan of the Bell much?
No.
No? No. Shot down in flames there. Doo doo doo.
I own a bell. It's a gorgeous bell. But maybe it's my meta out here, but I took the bell to a local tournament and six out of eight players had cannons and the other two had four bolt throwers. I see no need to paint the bullseye on my seer.
Yeah, I can see a point in that. But for my Brawler Bash list, I have put a bell in there, so I'm gonna die horribly, probably. But I went with Seer, Bell, Fencer Blade, Dragonbane Gem, Earthing Rod, Skarm, and two extra tokens. But I have got the Storm Banner in there, so that should give me a turn. And I've got 3 unit of Gutter Runners, so that should prepare some anti-cannon attack force.
3 units of 9?
No, 3 units of 5. I love taking units
Oh.
of 5.
7 has worked out well for me. That's typically what I run. It gives me the mathematical chance of I should get 2, and I've got a good chance of a third for the wound on the cannon, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's all right, but I've tried to get a fair to even spread of things because it's going to be a tournament. I don't know who I'm going to draw. I want to make sure I don't have necessarily too much. And bolt throwers only have 2 wounds as well, not 3. So bolt throwers are fairly easier to take care of.
Correct.
The cannons don't worry me quite as much because there are so many goddamn elves now. Wood elves have no cannons. High elves, dark elves, going to be bolt throwers. That's not so much of an issue for me. One of my big things recently for not taking for the Skaven is the dodgy rules and the dodgy FAQ. But the last tournament I went to, I took full Slaanesh, and I had to answer so many fucking questions. I was like, I might as well have brought my Skaven because no one actually knows what Slaanesh magic does. It was like, you're going to cast that spell on my unit in the building? I was like, yeah. Because, 10 unmodified is fairly reliable. 10 unmodified on 3d6 is pretty hard to pass.
Right.
So I did that, and he was like, oh, no. Yeah, I God, that was ridiculous. I charged 4 skull crushers at a building. He killed 2 with stun and shoot. 2! Fucking unbelievable. I won combat by like 2 in the end as well. And, yeah, he failed and he ran off. So that spell was totally justified after he laughed at me. So I was like, fear the skull crusher, run out of the building and off the board. Thank you.
I hate demons. Out here, it's all Nurgle all the time, other than Nurgle has mysteriously acquired 2 skull cannons.
Yeah. Fluffy Nurgle. I always say, Fluffy Nurgle.
Right.
Because the cannons are Nurgle. Yeah, I just, yeah, I completely disagree with that. It's like my friend takes it and I was like, why don't you just take 2 bloody soul feeders? They're practically stone throwers anyway, so you can have that heavy support without being a dickhead. But no, let's go for the corn flaming cannons so that we can flame things off.
Everybody wants to kill the Hellpit.
I don't take one, so there you go, that's one way
I
to
know
go.
you don't take one, but everybody still wants to kill the Hellpit.
Think, I don't know, what else is that's flammable? Lots of trolls, maybe. Lots more Nurgle, maybe.
Treeman. Not that you'll ever see a Treeman, but Treeman.
Well, you do. I fought one last time.
Really?
Yeah. I ran my Lord into it, cast Hysterical Frenzy on him, 7 attacks with a flail, rerolling failed to hits, and I killed the tree man. Just ran in there and went, fuck off.
And that's why people don't take treatment? Just saying.
I just don't think they've got enough wounds. It's just a slightly silly limitation on it.
Out here, it's all avoidance, or all cav avoidance is what I'm seeing mostly. Just everybody's just going to be on a steed and run away, which is why I've modified my GT list, or I'm starting to think about it, to have more magic slash shooty. And just, everybody wants to win by 125 points or whatever they can.
Well, yeah, that's it, isn't it? 'Cause in the tournament scene where we use a 20-0 scenario, it's like they're not just torpedoing themselves by only getting a
Right.
marginal victory. They're doing it to you as well.
Right, but when when they know that they're running at a 20-0 scale, they don't typically run wood elves, as I understand it. At least that's what I've been hearing.
No, we've had some wood elf wins around here. Yeah, they just peel away at stuff and chaff you up and double flee and stuff like that. Like Lizardmen tactics, where they just like make it so you can't actually reach stuff.
Right.
And it just becomes a ball ache and not a game. Yeah, it's quite strange, but I don't know. It seems to be working for some of them, so it's on the increase. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But yeah, anyway, back to Skaven. So yeah, that's his main three characters. I think yeah, you'd be mad to not take a seer. It's one of them things. I usually take him on a bell or not on a bell, or sometimes I just take him with a scarring stone just so he's got a 3 up wardsave against one thing. And that tends to work. I know that people should kill the seer, but people really do get bogged down not because you don't give them much choice. Because when you throw 200 not other models in the face, they can't just ignore them. They've got to try and kill them. And that's what it ultimately comes down to.
I agree. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You kill the seer, you win the game. But getting to him is a real pain in the neck. He either is going to kill himself with a miscast, or you're going to have some spell that'll do it, panic them off the board, whatever. Otherwise, it's real hard to get through them. Because if they've got enough to get through 100 slaves or so, and a bunch of clan rats, and a bunch of storm vermin or whatever, and still get to the seer, well, then you're probably dead anyway. So it's hard to justify doing a whole lot to protect him, other than, your cursory 4 or 5 up ward save, whatever you're going to take, and then calling it a day.
Yeah, well, that's why I usually go half-assed or full-on like I have with the bell.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, then, after that, we've got heroes. You've got an assassin. I don't know how you feel about assassins. They're a bit, yeah, they're on the verge because they're kind of expensive for Skaven characters. But if you equip them, they are kind of good. So, I've run a couple quite successfully and took out entire blocks of warriors. So it's useful to have, I think, but that really depends on your build. A lot of Skaven is synergy, so you've
Yes.
got to build the right list to go with things.
Yeah. I think that an assassin is overkill in my current list because he would end up either in my bunker unit and not get used, or he ended up in the Storm Vermin unit and standing next to the Fellblade guy. It's just, complete overkill. I think that, I've used a couple of assassins several times with my bell, or a couple of other lists and done well with them. I think you just have to go through and, as you said, synergize it, number one. And you have to make some sacrifices as well, because the 170 points you're going to spend outfitting him with Potion of Strength and, a Weeping Blade or the Blade of Nurglitch and whatever build you're going to use for him, that's 80 slaves. That's 2 bricks. So where are you going to lose some points from that? I think that almost, causes you to drop maybe not your hammer units, but drop one of those extra things you would like to take, like a Doom Wheel or a Hellpit or those sorts to fit him in, and I'm not sure he's always worth that.
Yeah, it is. I think the main use is the bell, isn't it? It's the bell, and you buff your assassins, pop forward, and then you've either got to attack the bell or the assassins, and everything in the front rank's got a ward save, and then it stops the enemy getting easy combat res. And
Right.
if they do kill the assassin, generally speaking, they've all got to strike at the same time anyway, so they can't kill anyone else. So
Right.
it becomes one of them points, doesn't it? But I've not gone for assassins in my list. I've gone for a shit ton of warlock engineers. I've just gone for a bit of a Skyra thing where I'm just going to shoot the shit out of them. My mate says, why don't I just take a full combat list? And I was like, well, yeah, I could, but chances are I'll run into High Elves and Dark Elves and we'll strike simultaneously and my assassins will die anyway. So
Right.
I'm not sure that's really worthwhile. Whereas if I kill them before they get to me, then I've done something. Yeah. I'd generally go with what you said. You want a Weeping Blade and what's it called? Yeah. The Blade of D3 Woundage.
Yeah.
I'm having a brain fart now.
That is the Weeping Blade.
Is it the Weeping Blade and Potion of Strength? Alright, I'd
Yep.
go Nerglitch. I love the Nerglitch Blade, that's one of my favourites.
Yeah.
Because you get to re-roll when you roll once, so it's like, haha, generally speaking.
Right.
But the sorry. The throwing stars can be quite good as well if you're versus a lot of monsters, but you've got that many things in the Skaven Arse, and it really is overkill, I suppose, unless you're playing bloody Nurgle demons and then you want to get rid of those cannons. So yeah, that can be useful. So then we've got Warlock Engineers. They're cheaper chips, so you can put as many in as you want if you're playing on comp. That's the one thing of playing this Polar Bash that it's a bit strange for me, because it's like there is no comp on Skaven. And
What?
yeah, there's no comp at all, really. So I can take whatever the hell I want. Yeah, so it's like it's imagining what other people are going to take as well as what I'm taking, and trying to make sure I've got something for every eventuality. So just for the sake of giving some options, this is the Warlocks I've gone with. I've got one with a Dispel Scroll, level 1, one with a Scroll of Shielding, level 1, one with a Brass Orb, one with a Doom Rocket. So I've got a good spread of the toys. So if anything does pop up with a low initiative, I can happily drop a Brass Orb on its head. And if there's a nice big brick, hopefully Isles, I can Doom Rocket it, and it not be the unit with a banner that will go down. Else I'm going to be really annoyed. As you do, really. It's one of them things.
I like my Warlock Engineer with the MR3 token, because for the way I run my bunker unit, he's fits in the front rank, so he pushes the BSB to the back. He's cheap enough that I have absolutely no qualms about pushing him out as an extra piece of chaff or as a sacrifice to a challenge monkey. And he'll help protect against anything that's not PSOCs, dwellers, or final transportation.
Yeah, usually I would go with the MR3 Warlock, but because Masea's on a bell,
You don't need it.
Masea's already got the two up. My
Right.
BSB has a Storm banner, so he doesn't need to be in that unit, and he can be sacrificed because, as far as I'm concerned, he's just a bloody chieftain, and you can do what you want with him because they're cheapest chips anyway, aren't they? It's one of them things. So yeah, I think there are a million and one Warlock Engineer builds. It really does depend what you're after. I mean, I am looking at my list and thinking, I need a Ruby Ring for those goddamn dirty eye elves and wood elves. Just to
Right.
peel some more elves away. But I have got so many toys saying that I perhaps I'm maybe going a bit overboard. So yeah.
And that's why I've added, for what I'm thinking about for my new list, I've added another level one in with a condenser just for wood elves and for high elf chaff and all that stuff because. For my thoughts, maybe you can talk about this a little bit. I think death magic has mostly dropped off, and so I'm not worried about the guy, and so I've dropped my MR3 token guy down into a level one with a condenser. That's been my big list change to go through and adjust that, and I think that will help in a number of things because I think the MR3 guy was being underused a little bit in the current meta, and the extra two channels on my turn, extra one channel on my opponent's turn, and the extra magic missile will give me play in a number of different scenarios.
Well, yeah, the it's an extra channel, isn't it, as well? So it's channel on 5 up, channel on 6 up, as written in the new rules.
Yep.
So that's pretty good in itself. Death magic? No, a lot of Nurgle players take death magic, so I don't know if I can count quite that as out. And I know ogres take death magic quite a lot, so I think it really depends on that first game. I think that first game is going to depend who you're going to fight next. And I
Right.
think all the elves are going to filter to the top. So I think as long as, I go for like a 10-10 or above, I should draw an elf and I shouldn't have to worry about death then.
Right.
But yeah, I think the big power armies, they use spells that complement the race, not just, oh, I'm going to try and kill you. So
And if you run into that Nurgle Demon Prince, then hopefully your cannons are on point.
Well, I've got two cannons, two doom wheels. A Nurgle Demon Prince does not actually worry me all that much.
And that's my point, is that if you have the tools to kill a Nurgle Demon Prince, so you don't have to worry about death magic as much. If he wants to walk up and purple sun down your line, you don't really care, considering we're all Initiative 4 and 5.
Yeah, exactly.
You just want to make sure he doesn't, spirit lease the seer.
Which we won't, will he? Because I got a 2-up save against it, so
On your bell, you do, yeah.
yeah, that's some limited amount of protection there. So yeah, that's the general meta, I think, at our area. So next we've got chieftains. They're a pretty staple. You could take a lot of these if you wanted to. I've played with this before. It was okay until they started going always strikes first crazy with the elves,
Right.
and now you just don't get a look in, do you now? Because it's all I go first anyway. So you get some retarded special character or some non-special character with a bloody ogre blade that just goes, I'm hitting you on threes, re-rolling. I'm wounding on twos, re-rolling, and you just go, I'll just take them off. I don't know, if you wanted to use chieftains killingly, you could always place your warlocks at the front if you're fighting high elves, and then once they're dead, your chieftains could step forward because it's simultaneous combat, so they can't strike again, so your chieftains would be safe then to attack. That's a general Fellblade maneuver, isn't it? Shuffling him to the front once the nasty stuff's done what it does.
The time for chieftains to be combat characters, other than in very limited builds, is probably over between, as you said, ASF, or even just your typical Blendo Lord or a Chaos Lord or whatever you've got. There's just too much out there that goes before them. It's too expensive to protect them and make them killy. It's just not worth the points, in my view. And to be perfectly honest, that's why my BSB is even naked. I know the BSB is critical to the army, but it goes off the same thing as what we were talking about earlier with the Seer. Nobody's going to get to him. If he does manage to die, then he manages to die. I'd rather he die than the Seer dies. And it's how I manage some points. I mean, my current BSB is 82 points with the BSB and the Flaming Banner, so I can flame on when I want. And that's it. And I think that's just better to keep them cheap. So if you're going to do a number of them, you're just going to give them a halberd and call it a day. But even that, I don't think is effective.
Well, I've given mine the BSB upgrade, halberd and storm banner. So if
Sure.
I need the anti-firepower, I've got it. If there's something I can actually attack with him, I will. If not, I'll stick him in the second rank of a unit, and he can just hack over the heads of a warlock and cause the occasional wound. But I don't see the need to put him with a bell. The bell doesn't fail, so it doesn't bother me. So yeah, you generally don't see many chieftains other than a BSB around, in my experience. It's all warlocks and assassins.
Right.
Because one's insanely cheap and the other one can take your head off. Which brings us to Plague Priests. This is an odd one, really, because you can put them on a furnace, but then everyone can put a cannonball through the face. So I'm not actually sure the furnace is any good at all, because it has no protection whatsoever.
I like the furnace, but not in this meta once again. It was a staple of my army earlier, but now between all the bolt throwers and all these always strikes first guys, plague monks as a whole just aren't worth it. So I'm not going to put a guy on a 300 point mount with him included to die before he gets to do anything. It's just not worthwhile. On the other side, though, I do believe that plague priests are still viable. And I think they're viable from the simple perspective that it's T5 with a flail and level one with, Pestilence Breath. You keep them cheap, or even if you invest a little bit into them and give them, portents and an Beelbul Amulet or something like that to go through and make him survivable, he can be rather nasty in hand to hand and give a good Storm Vermin or, even some slaves a little bit of punch where they otherwise might not have had it before.
Yeah, I think given the current meta, a plague priest with the plague sensor is probably one of the more effective builds because those goddamn one-up save units
Right.
that are everywhere, and it is before always strikes first, so you still get to wreak havoc on elves as well
Right.
if you can get into a unit without the World Dragon banner. It's yeah, I'd say that's pretty effective. It's just there's so many people that run that bloody fast cav dark elf list now that just, you know, my friend's going in for his 3K. You know what he's added for his 3K?
Another unit of Brolocs?
No. Five guys with great weapons on mounts. So basically, he's going to have an entire rank of dudes at strength five. It's just, yeah. Against Skaven, that's just so, yeah. You don't get your reroll hit, but you reroll your two wound. Okay. Jesus.
Right.
So, yeah, that's going to be fun. I think he's done it more for taking out steam tanks and stuff like that, because there's probably going to be two on every bloody Empire list, isn't there? So,
Right.
that's going to be a bit of an issue. But, yeah, I think I completely agree. I'd take it like that. Just give him a Plague Sensor flail. Give him Pestilence Breath. I wouldn't even bother rolling it, really. Because if you can get such good positioning with Pestilence Breath. In fact, I might be tempted to try out a great pox rat and
Oh
just
gosh,
it just
really?
go crazy. Well, you can.
Do you really own a great pox rat?
I own just about everything. My friends call my gaming room the Shrine to Warhammer. So, yeah.
The pox rat has fewer wounds, lower toughness, fewer attacks, and a worse leadership, and you're paying 30 points for the privilege? I'm confused.
Oh, he's only plus one movement, isn't he? That's crap, isn't it?
Yeah.
That really is just. It's an old book. They clearly just didn't know what they were doing when they're at it.
I gathered it up from the 9-page fact.
Don't get me started on that one. So yes, I think the general consensus there, cheap and cheerful. They are pretty good. I do like them. I don't have any in my current list, but he's frenzied, isn't he? I don't really know if I want to risk the whole he's going to run off on a tangent.
That's his downside, is the frenzy.
Yeah.
And the other side of it's the fact that, well, a warlord's 90 and he's 100.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he's a
So,
hero as well.
right.
And a level one.
Right.
Fact, I could try that, couldn't I? I could put two plague priests at either side of my bell.
Yeah, but then you've got sensors on the bell. That's not going to hurt too bad, but still. But that can mess up somebody charging in. That is true.
It's different. I might tweak my list a bit after this conversation. So yes, I think have we any of the heroes? No, that's it for the heroes. Yeah, plague priests they're an interesting combination because you've got your decent weapon skill, you've got your decent strength and toughness, you've even got decent initiative, really.
Yeah.
Three attacks apiece, frenzied, so it's four attacks. You give them a flail or a sensor, and you're talking strength six for a round. You can't really let him live, can you? Because it's going to cause you hassle if you do.
Yes.
But on the other hand, you probably want to rack up the kills by reducing the units so they actually break. So, would that?
I mean, you can do with a flail or with a sensor, an opal amulet, and the portents of Verminous Doom. He's 151 points with four attacks with plus the sensor damage. He's got a 4-up ward to the first wound. He's gonna be tough to wound with T5 and anyways, and you're minus one for being in base contact with him. You have to kill him that point, and he's not the easiest thing in the world to kill.
Yeah, it does kind of sound nice, doesn't it?
And if not, if your opponent doesn't read your army list and doesn't know that, and you all of a sudden win a combat and you're like, well, I'm, eight rerollable. Actually, you're seven rerollable because this guy's still alive.
Well, actually, this one we're doing, it's going to be a closed list, so only mundane items are going to be listed. So
Even
it's
better.
just going to say it's a play priest with a file. So yeah, that should be could be an interesting combination. Oh God, I might have to reload my list. Yeah, so that's the end of the heroes section. So that's a second part to that. So, yeah, for those of you, if you got any interest in what my list actually was, it was a seer with a bell, fencer blades, dragonbane gem, earthing rod, skarm, two tokens, all the warlocks I said earlier, the BSP with Stonebanner Halberd, 40 clan rats with full command and a mortar, 40 clan rats with full command and a rattling gun, 44 slaves twice, three swarms, two darts, three times five gutter runners, six giselles with a sharpshooter, five Plague Sensor Bearers, five Poison Wing Globardiers with a Bombardier with a Death Globe and a Mortar, two Cannons and two Doom Wheels. So there is a shitload of firepower there.
Yes.
But it's can I roll any goddamn hits? Because I've done it before, I've thrown Death Globe and it's scattered over my unit and just gone, we'll just take them off then, shall we?
Let's just remove this from play.
Yeah, it's like I could have held for another turn, but I just killed half my own unit in the shooting phase. Shit. as these things go. So there's been a lot of rumors flying around recently, so that's what I'm going to talk about next, I think. The whole Skaven coming. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not. It all sounds a bit on the edge, because as much as I like the whole end of days things, historically, Games Workshop fucks it up.
Right.
It doesn't matter what happens, they manage to fuck it up, and then they just retcon it. They bring in Torchwood and go do 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 do, and it didn't happen. So I don't know. I guess they could move the storyline forward, and I've been saying that they should do like a middle ground one. I guess I sort of think that maybe this is what they're going to do now because Hobbit's ending at Christmas and there's no more Hobbit. Maybe they'll carry on with Fantasy Battle and they'll release an advanced storyline as well. So you've got two versions of Fantasy.
Oof. I think they have enough problems supporting one version of Fantasy, much less two.
Yeah, but they've always had like three core games. This is the thing, and they're going to drop The Hobbit, so are they really going to go down to two? The Hobbit is over. As of January, it's gone. That's it. There's no more support for it. It's just.
I don't see them picking up a third. I think if they're going to do a third, then it would be a 40K version rather than a fantasy version. It'd be an official apocalypse game or something of that nature. I don't see them going through and doing fantasy into two versions. They can't support the one.
I don't know, man, because they can't fucking sort 40 characters to save the fucking life. It's just like they just fucking throw a load of shit out, everyone goes, this is a wank, so then they do it again and they go, this is wank again. It's like I'm a pretty die-hard Warhammer fan, but even I have given up on 40k because the rules are just shit. You buy an army, you build it, and then it becomes fucking useless within 6 months. And at that point, I just like, I'm not doing this anymore. At least in fantasy, you've got flanking and tactics and rank bonuses. In 40k, it's just pew, pew, pew. Oh, did you lose?
40K is the game people start with, and they move to fantasy when they want more of a challenge.
It's never been my style. Yeah, I've always been whinged into playing it. But anyway, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they advance the story. I don't know about this whole Nagash being the big bad either. I mean, I know what they're saying, but surely the demons are a more ominous threat since they never go away and they're just always niggling away at things. You thought that would be the big bad. But on the other hand, If you have the big evil versus good and Skaven kill Nagash again, that'd be fucking hilarious.
Remember the Fell Blade? Here you go again.
It's like, do you remember the last time we had a disagreement? Do you remember what happened?
I would think that if they did that, then they would have to force Skaven onto the opposite team because I would assume Nagash would be so pissed off at us for killing him the last time that he wouldn't trust us again. So that would be my guess behind it. But then again, I don't see them pushing the storyline forward as them actually doing it. I think they're going to keep this into perpetual as they can. I don't think they're going to change anything other than minor pushes with a book here and there. There's not enough support for it out there to invest a major campaign, I don't think. I just don't see it being worthwhile. I think that they're going to go through and concentrate on finishing the last three books that don't have 8th edition hardbacks. They come out with a new 9th edition, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced because you don't even have to have all three books finished. Theoretically speaking, you could have one more, and then the other two could be in the box set for the next edition.
Yeah, but they're not going to put Skaven back in the box set. We were just in it. They're not going to put Beastmen in the box set because Beastmen is so not a core army. Britonia? Sure, deal, not a problem. But then they still want to get the other two books done.
I don't know. They've had orcs and goblins in the starter set for years and years, so I know they've
Yeah,
moved away
but
from
Orcs and
that.
Goblins is their Space Marines of fantasy. I mean,
I don't know. I think if that really was the case, then the book would be awesome. It
yeah,
really would. They'd have Ultima Squig or something, and just I don't know. No, I think orcs have. They've had their time in the sun, and they didn't like it, so they've been brought back down to reality because they used to be ridiculous. Back in fucking 5th edition, you had night goblins with a fucking bad moon banner, so they had always strikes first, and they're great weapons. And back then, great weapons didn't strike an initiative for it; just struck
right.
whenever. So it was, oh, always strikes first banner as well. So you've got goblins with great weapons always striking first.
Right.
What's fucking point? Tactic.com. Yeah, and they've done away with all that bullshit. So I don't know. I guess there's just a I really just hope that they make it more scalable. That's the main thing that you've got your problem with fantasy. It's not scalable. Some things just break the game. You just find something like a Decay, a Seer breaks the game. At big games, Banner of the World Dragon, and 2,000 points a unit breaks the game because it just becomes ridiculous. It's just little things like that that they need to find a way to step so that they're not all powerful all the time. So, yeah, I suppose it's the same thing with the Demon Prince because if you had more toys, if you had more points to spend shooting at him, you wouldn't be so bad. But because you're forced into like a cannon, a doom wheel, and some support units, and he flies, it can be an absolute nightmare getting him. So,
I think they've built the game intentionally the way they have. I think they don't really want the game. I don't say they don't want the game played above a certain level. I just don't think that they view that as their responsibility to make those rules. I mean, they built the Grand Army rules into, 8th edition where, hey, at 3K and up you get, the extra rare slots, the extra special slots, whatever. But I think they view that as just the, hey, you know what? Me and my buddies are all going to get together and we're going to do every model we've got on the table. Run. And that's just all they did with it. I think they want it stuck at 2,500 points where it's been, and that's the end of it. So they write the books around for that. And the specific ones that you listed off are their answers to warriors not having fast high, whatever, even though they do the Chimera, or high elves, just being mowed down by magic when they're supposed to be the masters of magic. I think they've put certain things in place. I'm not saying they're well thought out or balanced by any stretch of the imagination. Don't hear me saying that. But I think this is kind of what they wanted. And I think that their next few books, reflect that, because you look at Wood Elves, they're not ultra competitive. You're not going to see everybody fielding them. They're not the new hotness where everybody wants to bring them, but they fit that own void that they wanted that they didn't have before, which is an army that, ran around and shot a lot. I think they've built the game a certain way, and it'll be interesting to see where they take everything else, because I think Bretonnia are going to get. I think Bretonnia will be their new darlings, and they're going to get stupid. And from there, that will change the meta yet again. It's just a matter of when they come out.
Wow. Yeah. See, they've pushed themselves into it, haven't they? Because now the Wood Elves can just stall them and shoot the hell out of them, and they didn't stand a chance.
Right. You'd look at, I mean, Wood Elves had no chance against Bretonnia before. All they could do is just run around and shoot with strength 3 arrows. Now they can take Waystalkers, Way Watchers, and everybody ignores armor saves.
Yeah.
Or a -3 to armor saves, and at strength 3, hey, you've got a 5-up armor and a 6-up ward. Good luck. You're 40 points. I'm 15. Pew, 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 pew. You're dead.
Yeah, that is definitely a point of contention, I think. It's just gonna smash so many cavalry armies.
Cavalry was already dead in 8th edition, and Wood Elves killed it worse. The only way you're going to bring it back is you're going to bring a Bretonnian army to play, and you're going to bring, everybody. I think they're going to just make their ward save 5-up permanently. Make it a 5-up ward save permanently. Let them run around and do their thing to go through and wither the shots, because they only have to save it for 2 turns before they're in combat, and then kill whatever they charged.
Yes, that could be fun, couldn't it? Five at ward save for everything. Mind you, demons have got it, so it's not beyond the realm of possibilities.
Right.
So,
Demons have Beasts of Nurgle and Skull Cannons. I want to hear no complaining.
well, there's a Nurgle update coming apparently in the new things, so I don't know, maybe they'll nerf Nurgle.
I don't see that. I mean, what are they going to do? We're sorry. We meant Beast of Nurgle to be 165 points. Not
I
going to happen.
don't know. They nerfed Skull Crushers. They released Skull Crusher rules before the rule book came out for warriors, and they were toughness 5, and
Right.
then they took a point of toughness off them. That's like, I'm not saying that they're not hard, but that's a major change.
Yeah, but that book wasn't released when they did that.
Yeah, true. So, I don't know. I really don't know. We'll have to see. It might be an extra Nurgle thing, just to carry on the Nurgle love. Nurgle sales are high, let's invent something else, Nurgle.
Right.
So we can keep the fluffiness going with all those skull cannons. Maybe that's it, it's a Nurgle skull cannon. We've found it. The fluffiness continues.
Funny.
Yeah. So, have you read any other good topics on the Inner Empire, or?
Not really. I mean, just the I've been checking out the army lists and the tactics and all that stuff and keeping up with that. But, for most of my time, it's spent, I don't know, for myself, I'm entirely a gamer when it comes to the hobby. I'm not a painter, I'm not a modeler, I just game. And so that's where most of my time and trouble lies, and that's all haunt the forums on there for that section. That's why I've kicked in that 9-page, topic on my battle reports in the battle reports area, but that's where I stay most of my time.
You came here to roll dice and kill things. What did you think to my list then of shootiness?
I think that I like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of the Rattling Gun, so I'd drop him for something different, another Warp Fire Thrower or whatnot. But you definitely have all the power you need to go through and deal with the high armor. And I think you'll see a lot of that. Getting through the Band of the World Dragons could be your only point of contention, or a big point of contention, I believe.
Well, I'm not even sure I'll draw high elves, so
Right.
it's not much of a worry to me. The Rattling Gun is very good for killing wood elves, I have found. So on that remark alone, I have reacquainted myself with the Rattling Gun because it can pivot and fire. There's
Right.
none of this jumping behind me bullshit and trying to get away
Right.
from me. You just pivot it and offload in a unit, and there's usually not that many of them that they can't afford to lose the 3, 4, or however you roll. I mean, I know it's very random, so it's not always optimum, but I need something in there for every army, just in case I do run into a variety. I doubt I will. I mean, I imagine all elves, and maybe an Empire army. Because some fucker's gonna go, oh, this will be funny. Let's put his bell against four fucking cannons. That's what's gonna happen, isn't it? There'll be two cannons, a Hellblaster Volley Gun, and a steam tank or something. And I'm gonna be like, oh god, stank. Yeah.
A fell blade fixes everything.
I got the brass orb, and you know.
I'm afraid to take weapons that when I throw them, they go behind me. I'm not that bad of an athlete that I could throw something and have it end up behind me or at my feet.
Yeah. Well, if you miscast, it lands on his head, so you know. It's okay. I can always skittle him over towards a stank or whatever. We'll see. It's gonna be interesting. Looking forward to playing 3K. I just didn't want to carry more models around. This is already less models than I usually take, so I was just like, oh no, I'm just gonna load up on toys. So yeah.
I think that you'll have fun with it, which is the important part, right?
Well, I don't know if you'll class it as fun. A lot of people probably bitch at me when they're like, ah, oh, finally got a spell through, and I was like, oh, you're all 28. I'm gonna use my scroll of shielding instead then. Because that's way too high, man. Way too high. But yes, hopefully I'll have some okay games. We'll have to see about that one. Yeah, elves are a bit too popular at the minute. I don't like it. But what can you do? It's just elves, isn't it? So in general, just gonna have to shoot them up and make them pay for it with every step and chaff them up to death and.
You do exactly what you said earlier. You synergize like you're supposed to. You kill a few of this, a few of that. You do what you can to ignore what you can't hurt, and you take your points where you can. That's all you gotta do. Just hope that they're not all in one block.
Well, if they're all in one block and I fire all the toys and they all work, I've won.
Unless they're all in the Banner of the World Dragon block.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm not afraid of the Banner of the World Dragon quite so much as some things.
True.
I think the Dark Elves are a lot scarier.
I agree.
Right, anyway, on that note, I think I should really take a break.
Hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah chaka, hookah, hookah, hookah chaka, hookah, hookah,
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me when you hold me in your arms so tight. You let me know everything's alright. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. Lips as sweet as candy. day of victim if I can for sure. All the good love when we're all alone, keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on. Ah, hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. All the good love when we're all alone. Keep it up, girl. Yeah, you turn me on. I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. I'm hooked on a feeling. You're in love with me. I said I'm hooked on a feeling.
Hello everyone, it's just me now, I'm on my own, and it's a bit of a continuation of what we were talking on earlier, but I've scrapped my pre-recorded thing because I've had a very busy week, and to be honest I sounded a bit of a meh on it, so I'm going to record it all again. So basically I'll start off with the so-called rumours that the books are being scrapped. This is a bit of a rumour thing, the fact with what we know. Bretonians, Skaven, and a couple of others were supposedly being dropped. This seems more like someone with a very active imagination, because what seems to be actual fact is that they've been sending people around to do stock checks for independent suppliers and finding out who had what store and what book they had in stock and how many. Basically so that they could avoid having to reorder, because if you consider the real situation in the matter, when they order an army book the first time around, they probably order 10,000 or more, and they probably get a massive discount on it, so they're not going to want to reorder old books. I mean, the Skaven came out years ago, so they're not going to want to reorder that book. So they send these people around to count books, and then they basically offer people money to get their books back, which you really can't say no to, because it's GW, and if you say no to giving them their product back, they're basically going to be a bit meh with you about future deals. So it's kind of a give and take situation. They want to make sure they've got their product in stock without having to reorder it and pay the expensive overheads, but they don't want to have to go to the expense of printing, so they do a deal with the independents and they give them something and they give them the books back. I don't quite know the technical figures of all this information, but that seems to be the general gist of what's been happening. They've gone around and said, oh, you've got 10 Bretonian books, we don't have very many left, can you give us blah blah back and we will give you blah blah, and then you can have something. And then they get to save face by having it in stock to be ordered by people, because obviously only GW knows when they plan to re-release a book, so it's a bit hard for anyone else to say. And you can't really say no to the supplier of a product, because if you do, they're not going to really care about you when they re-release something. It's a bit of a vicious cycle, but no, I think the facts point to just Games Workshop stock checking figures rather than actually discontinuing anything. So I don't think you have to worry about anything like that. That being said, there is a rumour going around that they are rebooting Warhammer with 9th edition and that things will change. Could it happen? Yeah, probably. But will it stay? Well, Storm of Chaos changed everything and it lasted about 5 seconds because it annoyed people and Games Workshop weren't sure what they were doing and they were flip-flopping around. I mean, they are a lot money driven these days, so maybe they would stick with the changes. Maybe they could stay with it. I mean, maybe they'd have a old ages and new ages of Warhammer, and then 40k is their three main products. Because you've got to remember that as of January, the hobby is not going to be around. It's just not going to exist. Once the film comes out, there's going to be a short spurt of stuff, but Games Workshop's already planned, it's already estimated sales, it's already produced what it wants to sell, it's already going to be around. And if it doesn't sell, it doesn't sell. It's going to be one of them points. And after that, the hobby is over. Unless they actually go back and decide to do some Samarin, and then decide to take up the contract with Games Workshop yet again, it's not going to be continued anymore. It is just one of them things. It'll get dropped by the sidelines. What that means, I don't know. They could do a different version of Fantasy, maybe, possibly. I kind of like the idea of having an army you could use in two different scenarios and sets. It also means that if they royally screw one up, you can just abandon ship and use the other one until they fix the other one. It'd be a more interesting concept and fall through. I don't like the idea of Nagash, as I previously said, as the big bad of the, oh, evil is coming. Because, you know, Skaven have killed him once, so there's going to be this really awkward conversation if he teams up with Skaven again. It's like, if you disagree with us again, there might be severe consequences, just like last time. Because, you know, we're not very tolerant of people disagreeing with us. You can say no, but it probably won't end well for you, is the reality of the situation. So the rumour is that we're going to get at least some new special characters, along with at least, I think, every evil race. It's probably going to be Nagash for them. It's probably going to be something for the demons, something for the warriors. And from the looks of it, Thangor from the Skaven. Not that he's ever renowned for doing anything particularly well for us, but new models are always something good. A particular other one is possibly the Vermin Lord, but he is, I don't know, he's a bit of a staple of all Skaven, isn't he? And his rules aren't particularly good, so I don't really see him being released again until we get a new Skaven book and them deciding how this conflict is going to climax and which side is going to come out on top. There's definitely some potential for a new Vermin Lord model, and there's already a new Forge World, which is another reason why I think possibly they'll not bother. They'll just go, hey, we'll just release the Forge World model until everyone is ours. Because it's a really nice model, and it just probably needs some rules more equates to Warhammer. That's always something that nags me. You're never allowed to use Forge World stuff at tournaments, but you're allowed to use Chaos Dwarfs. An entire Forge World army of bullshit. Because the fucking rules for Chaos Dwarfs are quite fucking ridiculous. Oh look, I missed you with this template weapon. I will scatter back and hit you with the small temperate. But rather than being like strength 10, I'll be strength 3 with no saves allowed. Oh, that's so terrible compared to a direct hit. It's just not equal. If they're going to release stuff under the banner of Forge World, they should just do it with Games Workshop and say, yeah, this is acceptable, or it's not. Because they release things for the Skaven book, you can buy the models, but you can't have used them at tournament, so it becomes bloody pointless. And I think that really is probably the reason a lot of stuff from Forge World doesn't sell, because I think if a lot of it was Forge World equitable, then I think, yeah, you'd see wolf rats and stuff like that at tournaments rather than just nah, because I think a lot of the stuff that Forge World releases are really nice models, but the rules are just that side of ridiculous that they're just too much for a lot of people, because it really just is. You only have a game Warhammer, not play fucking cheese hammer, and a lot of people ban special characters, at least over here in the UK. So that kind of roleplay is a bit shunned on. You're not allowed to just go to town and go crazy with it all. It's supposed to be about tactics and strategy, not just, oh, I brought this, I win. It's a bit like 40k with, oh, I've got a weapon, his on twos, wounds on twos, oh, I win. You know, maneuvers because it's not that kind of thing. The next thing I want to talk about is this website. It's been a long time in the making, but we are near the final product for the website. I will say a lot of the functionality has been coded. It's done. It is nearly ready. I am just testing things to make sure it's all ready before it goes live. I have had more issues with hosting. Apparently, I'm not supposed to do streaming products on the package I have, which is a massive excuse to try and charge me a massive bill at the end of the month, I have found. There have been some severe complications, and that's with a host I would have recommended. I would have recommended 1&1, but they frankly have taken massive piss. They seem to look at how much traffic you get, and then based on how much traffic you get, decide to flip a coin and then decide how much they're going to try and charge you and if you'll complain or not. And it's kind of mirrored because you seem to get these survey requests from them saying, are you happy with your product, when they try and take the piss. And I filled out two now saying that no, I'll be leaving your glorious service for one that doesn't try and stealth tax me every fucking month, because you are taking the mick. So yes, there's going to be possibly a minor interruption while I swap providers again, but it is unavoidable, I'm afraid, because I can't keep out shelling out a load of cash for something I'm doing that's making me no money at all. It's just not feasible. So yes, I'll be moving hosts. It's unfortunate. I did like 1&1 as a host, but they clearly aren't bothered about people that much, because they just see that a lot of people visiting your website must mean that you are making a lot of money, and thus they can try and charge you a lot of money for providing this service. Which, you know me, it doesn't fly. I'm very technical. I'm doing a lot of tech stuff myself, so I know there are other sources around, there are other companies that don't charge you for usage. The good thing about 1&1 is they don't charge you for space, just for usage. So as a guess on that coin, if you've got a lot of stuff that you're not going to access often, it's a good place to store your stuff. But if you're going to access it often, then you are screwed. Because combining unlimited space with shitloads of access is going to result in a massive, massive bill. So yeah, that is quite frustrating from my point of view, because I haven't broken any of the contractual agreements that we signed or anything. But yeah, they're still claiming that I am using an excessive amount of bandwidth and thus must be charged additional charges. So yeah, that's really got to stop, really. So yes, the site's going to move again. The site functionality is pretty much done for the new version of the site. It's going to go live parallel to the old site, most likely, probably between now and the next pod, or maybe the one after that. So you'll be able to have the pod as it is, or you'll be able to have all the functionality of the new site, all the new toys that I've been building into it. But the look and feel will pretty much be the same. Making something look how you want it to look is not the hard part of web design. The hard part is making sure stuff works and making sure it's unbreakable. And that's what I've been working on. So it should be live and functional shortly. And by the end of the year, we should have the aesthetics going. And then we can probably get back to more functionality. And if anyone has any function requests or feature requests, there is already a battle recorder built in there. It's not exactly how I envisaged it being finished, so there's still work to be done on that, but it's bare bone. It works, it's bare bone. It's just a matter of tuning it to users' preferences so that you can have what you want. You can have a battle recorder, you can log your things, and I'm thinking once everything's sorted, we'll try and run some universal battle campaign for Skaven and see if we can get people to participate in some kind of live event, which I think would be fun and interesting to try and organise. Or that could be the next thing we do. We could try and make a Universal Battle style Warhammer specific gaming system, because Universal Battle is kind of generic, and some of the people I've talked to recently have said, well, yeah, it doesn't really stop you from playing the rules wrong, which is kind of off-putting, which is true, but I think that's their get-out-of-jail-card of Games Workshop, in that you can use Universal Battle for whatever you want, and you can't be sued by GW because you're not technically embracing any of the rule sets or packs, so they can't say you're trying to rip us off and copying our game, blah, 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 blah. So, yes, it all goes in swings and roundabout. You have to be very careful with these legal situations, because you can find yourself in a never-ending lawsuit, which can all end badly for you. So that's it really for this pod. I hope you enjoyed the interaction between me and Heinz from America. It's a trial to get us on at the same time, that's for certain. I never realised that the time difference was so irritating at some points. But yeah, there you have it. It's fairly alright, so it's quite easy going. So if you've got any feedback or comments, feel free to leave them on the post when I post this. And we'll be seeing you next month for the next one. I'm not quite sure who's going to be with me next month or what we'll be talking about, but if you have any suggestions, ideas, feel free to let me know, and I'll do what I can to try and fulfill whatever suggestions you may have. Alright, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you later. Alright, cheers for listening. Alright, bye.